The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, thank you for joining us today for our wonderful teaching that I believe you're going to really enjoy. I'm going to be teaching today out of Matthew chapter 7, and probably a lot of you, if you read the Bible much, you've read some things in Matthew chapter 7. That's a chapter that starts out with some pretty firm things about not judging other people. And so we want to look at that from a couple of different angles today, but let's just read a little bit and get started. Matthew 7, 1. Do not judge and criticize and condemn others so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourself. So in this, we see right away one of the spiritual laws in the Bible that you reap what you sow. And we love that when it's talking about positive things, like if I give a nice offering, I'll reap more than I gave. But we're not so crazy about it when we read things like this, that if I'm critical of someone else, then I may reap a bunch of criticism in my own life. And the law of sowing and reaping is so strong, and the Bible is so full of it, that it's not anything that we really want to ignore. And I personally, I love this, the law of sowing and reaping, because I feel like it gives me a little measure of control over my life and what happens to me in the future. But I don't think any of us want to just feel like that we're at the mercy of whatever whim happens to fly by. And so this is really a good news scripture that if I want more friends, for example, if I'm lonely and I want more friends, then I can get some by just being friendlier, more friendly with other people. And if I don't want people to criticize me and judge me unfairly, then I should just not do that to other people. Verse 2, for just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned, and in accordance with the measure that you use when you deal out to others, it will be dealt back to you again. Why do you stare from without at the very small particle that's in your brother's eye, but you do not become aware of and consider the beam of timber that is on your own eye? Now, some of the modern translations can get really funny with this. It's like, why do you try to pick the speck out of your brother's eye when you have a telephone pole in your own eye? And then it pretty much goes on to say, if I would read every verse, but I'm just going to paraphrase it for you, that we really need to deal with ourselves first and let God deal with us first, and then we will develop a nice, healthy love walk, which will enable us then to help our brothers and sisters make positive changes in their life, but we can do it from a standpoint of loving them and not critically judging them. However, I have come to know for a fact that sometimes this group of scriptures is just taken way out of context. And so it becomes more like, don't judge anybody, don't judge anybody, don't judge anybody. Well, you know, it's one thing to say, well, I'm a vegetarian and you eat meat, so I'm going to judge you for eating meat. You know, that's silly. That's really none of our business. And Paul talked about that in Romans 14, that, you know, one person eats to the Lord and another person doesn't eat to the Lord. Let everybody make their own decisions. But let's just say that somebody's committing adultery. Now, that's not something we want to say, oh, I don't want to judge you. You know, we still don't need to judge the person. But let me just say it very plainly. Just because you're a Christian, that doesn't mean you all of a sudden are just dumb and blind to what sin is. Matter of fact, I would venture to say that the closer we are to God and the more we know the Word, the more we should recognize sin, not only in other people, but first and foremost in ourselves. We never want to judge anybody hypocritically, because in Romans 2, verse 1, it says the very same things that you judge other people for, you do. Well, that's like, why would I do that? Well, it's really simple. We We make excuses for ourselves. We always do. There's always a reason why we do what we do, but for other people, there's never a reason. And so we don't want to judge hypocritically, but interestingly enough, and something I don't think we teach on enough, there is a righteous judgment. The Bible says that we are to judge righteously. John 7:24, Jesus himself said, be honest in your judgment. So he didn't say, don't have any judgment. He said, be honest in your judgment. Do not decide at a glance or superficially or by appearance, but judge fairly and righteously. I like that. And James 5:19 and 20, which this is very good, I think. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and falls into error, and another person brings him back to God, let the latter one be sure that whoever turns a sinner from his evil course will save that one soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins, procure the pardon of the many sins committed by the convert. So here again, he's saying, look, if you've got a brother or a sister that is in sin and you know that they're in sin, if you really love them, then in a right spirit, not a haughty spirit, not a self-righteous spirit, not a hypocritical spirit, but in a spirit of love, you speak the truth in love, that if you don't say something to them for their benefit, then really you're not helping them at all. And so I really believe that we've just kind of gotten, it seems like people are in the ditch with this thing on one side or the other. They're either judging every move that somebody makes and think everybody should be exactly like them, and if they're not, then they're wrong, or they become so afraid of judgment, and I've done this myself. I mean, I've gotten to the point where it's like, I'm not going to judge anybody, don't want to judge anybody, but you still have to, you know what sin is, and we're called upon by God to deal with those things. Now, there are situations where maybe it's not my place or position to go deal with something in somebody's life. For example, if my neighbor has a 10-year-old child that is doing something, you know, getting in trouble at school, maybe it's not my place to go correct that child. You know, that may be something that I need to leave up to that parent. But there's so, I just think that, I don't know how to say it anyway, but to say it, I just think there's a lot of worldliness in the church. And not in every church, not in every Christian. There's a lot of wonderful, great, amazingly good things going on. But there's also a lot of worldliness, and I think that there's so much of it sometimes that people don't even know what's wrong and what's right anymore. Amen. And so I think that we have to help one another. I believe that the Bible tells us that in love we should help one another stay on the right path, because the Bible talks about correction, and if only a fool won't receive correction. And so Dave and I operate like that. Once in a while, Dave will say to me, I mean, this happens very rarely, but he'll say to me, I really don't think you should say that like that anymore. And so I'm glad for that. And once in a while, I'll say to him, you know, I really think your attitude is not quite right in that. And you know, he'll usually say, sometimes we both got to think about it a little bit. You know, normally when somebody corrects you, you don't just go, oh, good, thank you, I love that, could I have more? But normally, if you've got anything of the Spirit of God in you, it doesn't take very long and you'll say, yeah, you know, that's right. And so I just want us to be sure that we don't just look at one side of this and not look at both sides. For example, here's another great scripture, Matthew 18:15-17. If your brother wrongs you, go and show him his fault between you and him privately. And this is so important. In other words, when somebody does something wrong and you clearly can see it's wrong, it's not something to put on social media, which we've got so much of that dumb stuff going on today. You know, social media is a great tool for many good things, but it also can be, and in many instances, is becoming very dangerous. It's not a place to spew out hateful attitudes that we personally hold that are not in keeping with scriptural practices and principles. So if my brother sins against me, it's not my place to go tell three other people, you won't believe what he did. Well, you won't believe what he did, or even worse, to put it on social media. I go first to my brother privately. Everybody say privately. And so that means I go to my brother and I don't tell anybody else. I pray about it. I get right timing from God. I pray for God to open the right door. I don't think we ever should confront anybody without a lot of prayer first. Because to be honest, nobody's going to pay any attention to what we say if their heart's not prepared by God to receive it. I've even learned that in my marriage. If I ever do want to say something to Dave about anything that I feel that maybe he's not handling right, I learned a long time ago, don't ever go do it without prayer. And also seeking God's timing, because years ago I was just like, well, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, then we just have a big fight. But it's amazing how God will prepare the way for you if it's something that you really should be doing. And so we go first to them privately. We pray ahead of time. We pick the right time. Then it says if they won't listen, take two or three others with you. Let's just say that maybe as one of our very valued employees here at Joyce Meyer Ministries, that you know of somebody else who is gossiping and causing strife. They're not happy about something, and so they're busy trying to make other people unhappy. Okay. It's your job. It's your responsibility to go to them and say, you know, you really need to stop talking about things the way you're talking about them and come back with maybe some positive things. And if they won't listen, then you're probably going to need to go to your supervisor, and maybe the supervisor takes the manager and everybody goes and talks. And then this says, if people still won't listen, then you take it to the church. And that still doesn't mean you put it on social media. It means that you go to the right places. And so if we go back to Matthew 7, you know, I think as believers, we really have to make sure, and especially in the days that we're living in, we have to make sure that we have the whole counsel of the Word of God. And that we don't just pull out a scripture here and there that we want to kind of back up our own pet peeves with. So we can't just look at this. No, we shouldn't judge other people. Critically judge them. There's a difference in confronting somebody in a spirit of love, and the Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, lest you also fall. Actually, in Galatians, it tells us the attitude that we should have any time that we talk to somebody about something that they've done that's not right. Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, and I'm sure we all think that's us, you know, you who are spiritual, and here's what it says you have to have to be spiritual. You're responsive to and controlled by the Spirit. Should set him right and restore and reinstate him. Three levels. First of all, you say this behavior's not right. I'm willing to help you work through restoration, which means laying out the Word, showing people the right way, helping a person come to a place of repentance, and then you reinstate them. And do it without any sense of superiority, with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. I kind of learned a lot of years ago, if I have to correct somebody that works here, which I'm not, I don't do that much of that anymore because there's other people that take care of it. Because, you know, it's not easy. Because we really have not been taught enough how to receive correction graciously. And so very few people can have any kind of correction and actually really listen and say, well, thank you for bringing that up. I'm going to pray about it. You know, just because somebody corrects you, that doesn't mean that they're right, but neither does it mean that they're wrong. Because a lot of times we don't see in ourselves what other people see. And our heart may be right, but we still may be coming across very wrong, and even in a way that might be damaging our witness to somebody else. And so I've kind of learned that when I go to people to bring any kind of correction, I always start by telling them something about me, some area of weakness in me. You know, I want to share with you a problem that I once had. And then it's kind of like you're opening up your heart to them so then they can receive, hopefully, what you're going to say yourself. Or you can say, you know, I'm not saying that I'm perfect because I'm certainly far from perfect. I have issues of my own, but this is something that I've noticed and I think it's just hurting you. And I'd really like you to pray about, you know, pray about it, see what God says to you. I think that there's ways to do it and still stay, keep with an attitude of humility. And then verse 2 says, bear, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults, and in this way fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ. I think what that means is you don't just, you know, dump somebody and throw somebody out of your life because they're not behaving exactly the way that you would like them to, but you must be willing to work with them if they want to be worked with. John Maxwell said something recently at a foreign directors meeting that we were having, and we'd ask him to come and speak. He said, you have to learn how to value people where they're at, not where you'd like them to be. And I love that. So we don't even have to devalue people because they've got something about them that we don't care for. But I just think it's important for all of us to realize that one of the gifts of the Spirit is discernment. And I pray for discernment on a regular basis. And I highly recommend that everybody do that because the Bible tells us that especially in the last days, that deception is going to be so great that if God did not shorten the days for the sake of the very elect, no man could withstand the deception that's coming on the earth. And I think, to be honest, that's why we, in many instances, see the spirit of the world creeping into the church, because people are not praying for that gift of discernment. And so they kind of just go with whatever they see, and you can't do that. I know, like even in buying clothes, I've had people trying to sell me clothes say, oh, honey, that looks good on you. And I'm like, no, it's too short. Or, no, it's too tight. Oh, but that's style. And I just have to say, well, you know what? It's not style for me. It's not proper for what I'm doing. And as representatives of the Lord, there are things that are not proper for what we're doing. Everybody else may be doing it, but that doesn't mean that it's proper for us to do that. But now I do want to look at the other side of judgment for a while today, the side that we normally would teach about, which is not just critically judging and criticizing people. So let's just take an example. First of all, we need to learn how to examine ourselves, not others. You know, sometimes we walk around with a magnifying glass, just, you know, it's amazing how some people are so critical that they can always pick out the faults in people without seeing the good points. And I've learned, I'm sure many of you have too, that if you really look at the whole individual, almost everybody has more good points about them than bad. But whatever we focus on is what becomes the largest. And so if we focus on the fault, there are many people who get divorces because they're only focusing on their spouse's faults. And I'm probably talking to somebody right now, and yes, you did not make a mistake turning the program on, and no, you should not turn it off. You should listen to what I'm saying. Let me give you an example. Everybody has, like, love languages, things that to you, if somebody does that for you, they're showing love. Well, my top two love languages are gifts and acts of service. I like gifts. I like it when people do things for me. For some people, it's words of encouragement. For other people, it's quality time. For other people, it's loving touch. We all like different things. And we all have a tendency, until we learn better, to give people what we like instead of loving them enough to find out what they like and give them what they like. So we may feel like that we're giving to somebody, and yet they don't feel loved at all because we're giving them what we would like instead of finding out what they would like. And so because I enjoy getting gifts, I would like it if Dave would send me flowers, if he would just show up with a bottle of perfume or show up with a candle. Well, Dave is not a gift giver. It's just that's I don't know why, but that's just not in his DNA. I mean, I can even say, I'd like it if you do this. And he'll be like, okay, but then he never does it. Or he'll say, well, you can get anything you want. Well, you know, that's male logic. That's not, you know, well, what's the point? If I get it, you take it back anyway. I don't care. I want to know that you stomped around the mall for 2 hours looking for it and that, you know, you worked really hard to get it. Or he will occasionally have his secretary send me flowers. That's not the best thing to do either. Or he will call this one place where I buy clothes and tell her to put something together, and then he'll have somebody pick it up, and then he'll lay it around the house. Well, it's not that I don't appreciate that, but it's still not the same thing. So recently, we had our 49th wedding anniversary. You know, that is a long time to be married to the same person. And, I mean, I normally, the whole anniversary, birthday, Christmas thing does not bother me at all. I mean, I got over that a long time ago because it's just not his thing. I know that I know that I know that I know that he loves me and he loves me tremendously. And, but for some reason, I kind of had my headset that, well, after 49 years, you better show up with something. How many of you know you can set yourself up for a tragic downfall? And so, nothing. I said, well, since you're not going to say anything to me, happy anniversary. He said, oh, is it that day? Now, he doesn't even know about this, and I hope he don't watch this program. Because by the grace of God, I managed not to ever tell him that he hurt my feelings. But that was a temptation for about 3 days. It was like I was going to have a speech. Now, you know, and then I had to fight not getting my feelings hurt. Well, normally, that's not even an issue for me anymore with him because I've been through this for 49 years. But for some reason that time, I had an issue with it. So here's what I did that helped me a lot. I made a list. Okay, number one, Dave isn't a gift buyer. He basically forgot our 49th wedding anniversary. But Dave does dishes, ladies. Amen. Dave does laundry. Oh, yes. Last night, Dave did the dishes. He did 2 loads of laundry, and the whole time he did it, I sat in my recliner. Wow. He takes out the trash. He's easy to please. Oh, he hugs me probably no less than 7-8 times a day. Never does a day go by, I don't think, that Dave doesn't tell me that he thinks I'm beautiful. Always tells me he loves me. Always compliments me on my clothes. I can buy whatever I want to buy. He does not care. He wants me to have it. And when I ask him, when we have time together, what would you like to do? He'll say, I just want to do whatever you want to do. Now, you know what? If I had to trade all of that for a gift once a year that I probably would take back anyway, I think I've got the better end of the deal. And here's the thing. Nobody gets everything. And so I'm just saying, before you start critically judging somebody and getting an attitude about them, try making a list of the good things and look at that. Whether it's your job, your boss, your friends, your spouse, your home. I mean, you can find something. I hate this about this house. Well, what do you like about the house? You know, first of all, I've got one. I'm not living out on the street somewhere. And so we want to be careful about just critical, grumpy, gripey, selfish judgment. But at the same time, we don't want to take these scriptures to such an extreme that we're no longer dealing with things that we should be dealing with. Make sense? Everybody get something out of this today? Well, today we're offering you, I think, a wonderful resource. It's a book that I wrote quite a while ago called The Love Revolution. And today we're offering this to you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. And that gift is going to go to help us with our television airtime. You know, you watch the program all the time, and I pray that you do enjoy it, but it does cost a lot of money to put it on the air, And so I'm just asking you if you will send in a generous offering to help us with our television airtime, not only for the program you're watching, but to reach out to hurting people all around the world. And this book is absolutely wonderful. It talks about a lot of different aspects of love, and especially how to reach out to hurting people, which is very beneficial to you because it helps us get ourselves off our minds. And to be honest, the less I think about myself, the happier I am. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you, and I pray that you'll have a wonderful day.
The great thing about the kingdom is we're a body, right? We're not all just a hand, and we're not just all an eye or a nose or an ear. We all have a purpose. So the bigger organizations have their purpose, and the idea has always been for the bigger organizations to connect with the local church so the local church could be empowered to reach the people, and then the people come back in and then they know about the larger organizations. So the idea is taking a global community, shrinking it down into a local community so we can transform a neighborhood. We transform a neighborhood, we could change a city, and we could touch the world.
It's because of God's love for us that He gave the gift of His Son. And this Christmas, we want to send that message of compassion throughout the world with the Hand of Hope Christmas Catalog. Through your giving, you can help change a life in four vital areas of need. You can provide clean, fresh water to a thirsty village. Nourish a child physically and spiritually through our feeding programs and children's homes. Rescue women and children from the shackles of human trafficking. Ease physical suffering through our medical and dental missions. Or simply give a gift where it's needed most. And for supporting one of these areas, we want to say thank you with Joyce's 21-day audio devotional, Better Your Day by What You Think and Say. Call or visit us online right now. This Christmas, be a messenger of hope. Give today.
When we are confident in who we are in Christ, it allows us to face life with boldness, and it releases us from jealousy and envy toward other people. Thankfully, we don't have to compare ourselves with anyone. We have self-confidence only because Christ lives in us, and it is His confidence that we draw on.
Thank you, friends and partners. Together, we're sharing the love of Christ around the world. To find out more, please contact us or visit us online at joycemeyer.org. Join us in partnership as we share the love of Christ around the globe.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.